Elizabeth Cook in the WVTF studio for Roots Down Session Methadone Blues from the 2016 album Exodus of Venus. Elizabeth, thank you for coming in on a very cold day to sing for us.
Thank you. I sound like I'm cold.
Oh, no, you sound great. You sound wonderful. Now, when we last talked, which is several years ago, I spoke with you about the album Exodus of Venus when it came out, and That was an album that was one of those had to do, wasn't it? You had a lot of stuff to say, and you wanted to get it done. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how all the good ones are to me. Really starting with Welder when I was a little bit more mature as a writer and more mature in life. It became like sort of an urgent outlet, these songs, and they pile up. And then you get to make a record.
Yeah, and you'd gone through a lot of stuff before that album got made.
Yeah.
A lot of life changes. And was it cathartic to get that out?
For sure. And, I mean, now I see that I was still in it, really.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, that's what you gain with time is perspective. So I'm glad to know it and glad to have that experience in it. It definitely, you know, moved the needle for me, and I'm just glad that I could get it together enough to make that album.
Oh, well, it was a departure for you as far as style, And you've said that the genre and style didn't matter. You just need to tell the story.
Yeah,
you need
I
to
don't
tell
really the, adhere yeah. to that. That's yeah. not the point for me.
Yeah.
I recognize and respect that some people attach to music because of a certain sound that they like, and that's completely fair. That's not sort of my go-to concern when I'm writing or creating a track and how I want the song to sort of be interpreted from a production standpoint. It's more about getting the point of the song across. And if I need a banjo to do it, I'll get a banjo. And if I need a distorted guitar to do it, I'll get that. It's all about driving what I'm trying to say home.
Yeah, but you got good response off that album. It wasn't like people said, oh, she's a traitor. Listen to her.
Well,
she's,
probably she, if you did. But,
she's not
you know,
Americana anymore.
I'm not worried about them. and, you know, I want. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to sound like my cause is loftier than someone that looks at it a different way. But it's just my way, and I'm really happy that people did attach to that record and continue to attach to that record. It's been a slow burn record, it seems, and I love it. I'm very proud of it. I did what I set out to do. I'm getting better every record, and will hope always be gunning for that.
Well, there are so many good songs on that.
Thank you.
That record, Dharma Gate. I love that.
I almost did that one. Yeah, it's you know, every song does have a story, and that I was in a lot of therapy at that time, and I was at my boyfriend's therapist, which is dumb, don't do that. and the guy told me, you know, he said that term one day, and as is true with a lot of that record, even the title of the record, Exodus of Venus, is I went down these sort of like rabbit holes of not poetry, but like I would say any term or word or vibe that was interesting to me. So when I happed upon the theory that the book of Exodus in the Bible was actually Venus coming too close to the Earth's atmosphere. Like that's what they theorize actually happened. And the seas did turn red and ash fell from the sky and the ocean parted out of this like sort of energy kinetic lightning bolt that happened. So I just, that was a great, I used a lot of jumping off points like that to write around and to sort of get what I was feeling out.
Well, you do a lot more than just sing and write and perform and tour.
Yeah.
You also have a radio show on that. well, let's say it. Sirius XM on Outlaw Country Apron Strings.
Yeah.
Now, how would somebody go about getting a show on there, asking for a friend, you know?
Oh, man, if I knew, I'd tell you. Yeah, it certainly fell into my lap. Was not something I was after.
Well, how I'll put it this way: how would someone get a show on there if they weren't talented, good looking, and very entertaining? How about that?
I don't go to the right parties. I don't know.
Go to the right
party. I mean, maybe.
And
yeah, I was on a press tour for the Balls album in 2008, and being interviewed just like this by the program director there. And they were looking for another female to be on the channel that sounded outlaw country-ish, I guess. And I guess I fit that bill. And yes, 10 years later.
Well, I've listened. You break the mold, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what else. I don't have any training. Like nobody, you know, told me what I
Oh, that's better.
Doing.
That's
it. I guess. It seems to work. And I'm lucky for that because I don't do well being reverent to
exactly. Well,
so
that's good.
I tend to rebel against that, so I'm just really got lucky with that show and that they let me fly on there.
That's great. And you're also a character. You're a character on the Squidbillies.
Yes, Squidbillies.
I think that's fantastic.
I do too. That's one of the funnest things I do. The Adult Swim family on Cartoon Network. You know, they are. Whew, I think I know some whacked out musicians. Nah. Like that those guys are out, man, and they are so much fun, and they throw some good parties, and that's been a really fun thing to get to be on that cartoon and be a voice on that cartoon.
Well, I'm trying to make time right now to catch up on the new episodes of Rick and Morty, so, you know.
Right. Well, we just did a party for them at the Bank of California Stadium in California, and at 2 Chainz played, and I got to play, and wow. Yeah, it was wild. And they had a Rick and Morty slide that was way up in the air and super wide, like a rainbow tongue that you would, and okay, and yeah, and a mechanical hot dog. So like a mechanical bull, but this was a hot dog. And there was some kind of fight that broke out down there around that. I was up in the box, but it looked like people were throwing mustard packets or something. It's like Comic-Con for like, you know. But yeah, Rick and Morty they were present, and it was amazing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, let's talk new stuff. You say you got some new music. Are you working up to an album or just touring the stuff right now, working it out?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
Both of those things. And that, you know, may that always be the case. So yeah, new songs I'm ironing out, and a record in the chute.
Well, that's fantastic.
Setting up. So more to come there.
All right. All right. Well, let's hear something new, can we?
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to do?
Sorry, I'm so cruddy today.
Oh, you're fine.
This is a new song that's sort of a like a sister song to a John Prine song that's kind of obscure. It's on his album The Missing Years. So he has this song on The Missing Years called Jesus, The Missing Years. And it's all about what Jesus was doing between the ages of 12 and 23 when he goes off the grid in the Bible. Nobody really knows, so John Prine makes up this song about he went to the movies and he joined a band and he ate pork chops with a hot chick in Italy. And all this stuff happened. So I decided I wanted to write a song about what Jesus's mother, Mary, was doing during that time, because I don't think she gets a lot of airtime in the Bible considering her role. So this is my sister song to Jesus, The Missing Years. This is called Mary, The Submissing Years. It was hot, a hundred in the shade, when Mary got a note from this guy named Gabe. She don't remember getting pregnant, but she did. And by all accounts, she turned out one heck of a kid. But walking home from church one day, he just up and disappeared. Maybe he went to find Santa, or maybe he went to get beer. He was just 12 years old, this miracle she carried. It was also confusing. She wasn't even married. So she fled south to Elizabeth, her eldest cousin, who despite her old age also had one in the oven. And in a duplex with a busted cement gnome, where Chattanooga was as good as home. That's in Tennessee. There's firecrackers and Barbie lovers and train trackers and Coca-Cola makers and insurance takers and a lot of hot preachers. Simple brownie. John and Bob Rose, they almost booked a beach trip, but they didn't have a way. They banked biscuits in daylight for whoever might stop by, but they didn't get a lot of callers at the corner of Dura. Sweet tea was flowing and so were the tears as Mary lived out her submissive years. Not really free and sure not a boss. Just mostly lonely and mostly lost. Wherever Jesus was and whatever God had in mind, she hoped her boy was out there somewhere having a good time. 'Cause chance just seems to fall out of the sky. That's if you're lucky and the weather is dry. Lots of letters from Mama came, full of worry and I told yous. She curled up on the couch and watched Steel Magnolias. She baked a cake and baked a ham. She opened an account on Instagram, 'cause that's what you did back then. Now Mary was a good old gal. She didn't deserve it. She wrote her lines out one at a time, and she didn't complain one bit. She saw Sinead cover Loretta on Saturday Night Live, like every good virgin does. But she spent most of her time just sitting around and wondering where in the hell Jesus was. Sarah bought some brownies. Shauna bought rosé. They almost booked a beach trip, but they didn't have a way. They baked biscuits at daylight for whoever might stop by. But they didn't get a lot of callers at the corner of Do or Die. Well, time went by like molasses, so she signed up for some classes. But it seemed there were no real answers, just a lot of fast food and raunchy dancers, and things everywhere were the worst kind of wild. She knew in her gut they were coming for her child. With bumpers and thumpers and guns a-blazing, old Jesus was in for some gnarly hazing. Frat boy hazing, that is, the worst kind. She thought, oh my God, what have I done? He's a bottle of milk and all the love inside him is mine. They're gonna kill my baby. They don't like him none. So she cut off all her hair. She thought she might could get there if they would just mistake her for a man. It looked kind of mod. It probably wouldn't please God, but she had to have some kind of plan. And it turns out there are no fish at the end of a lightning rod. And the worst thing you can grow up to be is the son of God. And I'm not sure there's anything anybody can do when people will kill you even when there's nothing wrong with you. So come and gather around me, friends. All my contemporary peers. And I'll tell you all the story of Mary. The submissive years. Sarah bought some brownies. Shauna bought rosé. They almost booked a beach trip, but they didn't have a way. They banged biscuits in daylight for whoever might stop by. But they didn't get a lot of callers. Corner of Duda. No, there ain't a lot of callers at the corner of Duda.